QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.33 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. And of course, if there is no debate. Hi. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
Tom, good evening. KF6Q, W6AWL.
Good evening, Art. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure what your topic is tonight. We really appreciate you doing this on Tuesdays. But based on what's been on the television for 48 hours, what's on the internet, and everything else going on in the East Coast, I just asked a question. Outside of the training that the CERT has put together in emergency communications, all the rest of the amateur community here in California, what if it was us? Think about that. Back to you, Tom. Thanks so much. W6AWO.
Thanks, Art. Very good point there. And I do believe on the modeling, the forecast modeling stuff they do, possibility exists and will happen, not sure when, of receiving something like 100 inches of rainfall in a very short period of time in the California area. So, that would cause issues. So, yeah, you never know what's going to happen. So, amateur radio is always out there and plays a great part on keeping communications open. All right, any other announcements out there before we get started? Please come back to KF6Q.
KE6RJ.
KE6RJ, Harry, good evening. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. In light what we have heard and seen and what is experienced on the East Coast, if we all can spread the word that people should not be using their, I'm talking about non-hams, their cell phones, as that has been and is overloading their systems, and that people are encouraged to use texting and emails instead of cell phone use. If we can help spread the word, that'll make hopefully life a little easier. That is communicating other than ham radio. Back to you, Tom.
That's a very good point, Harry, and of course there's a lot of people out here on the West Coast trying to reach people on the East Coast. Very good point. Also, this is once again a very good example. In fact, Art, who was just on there previous to this announcement, was back east about a year and a month or two ago when Irene came through. Typically, your cell phone, all that service just gets knocked out. That's like one of the first things that goes down. They don't, not that they can help that. Sometimes the weather knocks out stuff. Sometimes it becomes overloaded. Texting can get through eventually, I guess, unless the towers are completely down. So, yeah, this is a good example of what will not be available and when something happens. So just everybody should take heed of that. Do your best to not overload the system back there. Good point, Harry. Thanks very much for that. Any other announcements out there, please come back to KF6Q.
Tom, AWL.
And Art, go ahead.
Yeah, Harry's exactly correct. I've got a very large family back there on Long Island, and we have not had communications for about 2.5 days. So we're working on it. Texting, email, it's not working. Just keep fingers crossed, and everybody think about what we would do if it was us. Thank you, Tom. W6AWO.
A friend of mine told me today something about the huge surge that came into lower Manhattan, and a lot of lower Manhattan's already pretty much very low, close to the waterline. So, it can happen. It will happen. It does happen. Good luck with that, Art, and hopefully you can get back there with communications. So, all right. Any other announcements? Please come back. All right, hearing none there. One announcement here. Very good point brought up by one of our listeners, Harold. Neat news article, technical article. And I think we may start, as we do the solar weather report, DX report with Mike, maybe add to this with a technology trivia thing that's in the news. A lot of stuff always out there, and I get a lot of this in almost every day, so. Kind of neat one for tonight, and we'll do that at its proper time. Might be kind of interesting. So, alrighty, let me reset. And this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Alrighty, our topic for the evening, we will be pulling out of November QST. Really cool little article. Original article started out way back in 1947. This is kind of a redo of that. Having fun building the simplest transmitter. Also very, very cheap. This is on page 46, November of 2012, QST. We'll be looking at that. Talking about some of the safety things to watch out for. A couple other things about the original article. Neat little thing here. So anyway, that's our topic. But wait, first, let's call the roster, starting with my partner in crime, or lack of crime, WB6CLZ Mike.
Hey, Tom, good evening. Tom and Annette, WB6CLZ. We're down in Placentia.
Oh, good evening, Mike. A couple of other Placentiaites that are good members of the club, too. It's probably not too far from you. You probably don't even know each other. That's possible. Anyway, how about WB6CIN, Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
Good evening, Cindy. Your signal always sounds better than Mike's. I don't know why. All right, how about KA6CIA, George? And nothing heard. How about KE6RJ Harry and KE6QI Nancy?
Oh, good evening, everyone. KE6RJ and KE6QI here. Thank you.
Harry and Nancy, glad to have you with us tonight on Tech Tuesday. Next on the list, I have KJ6HCS Mike. Nothing heard. How about WA6ITC, Rod? Nothing heard. Probably worked so hard he's sleeping. It was a day off. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good evening, everybody. KJ6FIL.
And good evening, Mike. Thanks for being with us tonight. Let's see, they might be in the shadow, but we'll give them a quick holler. KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
This is KJ6KDK along with KDL heading up to 38.
All right, Rosemary and Jim, thanks for being out there listening in. And by the way, just make sure Jim drives safe. All right, of course. Let's see if he's still out there with us. Let's see, how about W6GZI Frank? I think he's gone for the season. How about WB6PBZ Ray? Nothing heard. How about KI6IQA Kelly? And nothing heard. K6GBL Ron from Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is Ron, K6GVL.
Good evening, Ron. Hopefully everything's good over there in Green Valley. Thanks for being with us. How about AD6PL Harold from Riverside?
Good evening, AD6PL.
Good evening, Harold. And I got that article pulled up here about the champ. Ooh, pretty cool, pretty cool. We'll get on that in just a little bit. Let's see if he's out there, or K6LCS, Clint from Aruba Valley. And don't hear him out there. How about KJ6PYB Dave?
Good evening, Tom and the net, KJ6PYB, checking in.
Well, good evening, Dave. Glad to have you out there, neighbor. Appreciate that. See, we'll reach a little further north. How about W6JLM Judith? W6KMM Ken.
Good evening, Tom and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM sitting next to W6JLM.
Good evening there, Ken and Judith. Thanks for being out there listening in. How about K6YNW Chris?
Howdy. And I might say, like the, most of these two types, I tell people, keep your hands out of the power supply. K61W.
OTL.
Roger that. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, W6OTL. Approximately how long did your net run tonight? I didn't realize there was a net tonight and wanted to contact your gentleman through this repeater at approximately 8 o'clock.
We're usually done by 8 o'clock, and not a problem.
Okay, because he's up in Big Bear and I'm down in Garden Grove, and it's a lot easier to yell at him through this machine than it is Catalina. So, thank you very much. W6, Oscar Tango Lima.
Alrighty, good deal. And, yeah, just break on in there if we forget, but not a problem. Maybe you can listen up here Tech Tuesday. Anyway, thanks for using the repeater. Good source of communications up here. Alright, next I have is W6POO, Chip.
Amy Tom Danette, Whiskey 6, Papa Oscar Oscar, and no traffic as you said.
Alright there, Chipperoo, thanks for being out there. Let's see, KD6LAN Bill. And nothing heard, let's see, how about WA6DLB Donna? She didn't check in this evening, that's okay. Let's see, next I have here is AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, Tom and Vanette, Victor Santa Fe Springs.
Well, good evening, Victor. Good to see you at the club meeting. Had a pretty big crowd there. That was pretty neat. KA6ROD, Rod. And I've heard from Rod. How about W6JET, Rob?
Good evening to the net, W6JET.
And good evening there, Rob. Thanks for being with us this evening. How about K9AOG, Stephen? And nothing heard. How about KJ6RAY? nothing here or there. Well, let's see. That has my list, pretty much. Let's give a call out. You know what? How about WA6MQF Bob? And nothing heard. How about KJ6MYB, Apple Valley? And nothing heard. Well, I know Shelly's out there. Shelly. I'm looking for your call sign on my list here. Oh, I don't have it on my list. I thought I did. Shelly, are you listening in?
Oh, yeah. KJ6QYN. Mobile. Apple Valley.
All right, Shelly. Glad to have you out there. And by golly, if you saw my list, it was getting ragged. But you know what? I will write that in here for next week. Appreciate you being out there. Well, that's pretty much my list, I think. Anybody else out there would like to check in this evening, please come back to KF6Q.
Well, I'll check in. Whiskey 6, Oscar Tango Lima. Jim in Garden Grove.
Well, Jim in Garden Grove, glad to have you out there listening in. I used to live in Garden Grove, oh my gosh, back in the 70s. For a while, and you're hitting the repeater really solid. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there would like to check in this evening?
N7WNO, Mike, Motorcycle Mobile, El Mirage.
Motorcycle Mobile, by golly, I've heard you out there before. Appreciate that. And what's the name? All right, glad to have you listening in. Thanks for being out there. Anybody else? All right, that pretty much has it. Alrighty, anybody, of course, can listen in and check in and or participate. Or just stand by in the sidelights there and listen to what we're talking about. Well, Michael, let's see. First on our list is our DX report and solar weather in either order. Mike, come please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Tom, I think we can handle it this week. Okay, space weather. Last time I looked, spaceweather.com was reporting a sunspot number of 75, solar flux index of 108 solar flux units, and today the MUF in Boulder, Colorado, which is where they kind of predicted, was about 28 megahertz, so yeah, just around the 10 meter range. Didn't get a chance to get on much, but I'm sure 10 meters was still cooking today like it has been. Anyway, well, the last weekend we had the CQ Worldwide Sideband Contest, DX Contest, and I will tell you, I played a lot on 10 meters, and it was hot. Kind of the short list here, Mexico, Canada, Morocco, Surrey in England, Brazil, Montserrat, Argentina, and a lot more. But those are kind of the highlights. So, yeah, 10 meters was hot. I did that with 10 watts QRP and was getting signal reports. And naturally, on a contest, it was 5.9, but I actually asked one guy, and he gave me a 5x7. So, yeah, pretty good signal reports on 10 meters. Okay, Tom, back to you for your technology trivia tonight. This is a new one. Let's see what you got. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal there, Mike. Yeah, this was actually, Harold had mentioned this, and I saw this. I actually sent this link to you, but I know how busy you are. You probably didn't get a chance to pull this up. Pretty cool, interesting, from Boeing. This is, of course, public information. And a non-kinetic missile. Well, a non-kinetic missile. Let's see, a kinetic missile would be one that flies, hits something, and from that force of motion, just simply blows up on its own. So this is not using that. This is basically, it's called the CHAMP. Basically, Project CHAMP, tested over Utah, and it uses microwave high-powered microwave signals to basically take out electronics for its target. Mike, have you ever heard anything like that?
Well, I did get that email, and I did read the highlights, and I understand pretty interesting. Like you say, they use microwave energy to take out electronics. I guess basically it's creating an EMP using microwaves and using that to take out the electronics of so-called enemy. Back to you. That's about all I got out of it because I didn't really get into it, but I just kind of highlighted it. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and this is kind of a brief article. I actually got this through RF Global Net. It's on their news section. RF Global Net, pretty neat. Really specializes in a lot of stuff regarding microwave things. And I usually get some kind of a newsletter from them, pretty detailed on all these different little links. So, pretty cool stuff. Nothing is safe. Well, wait a minute. Maybe you could put your stuff in a microwave oven. I've heard that's good for EMP, by the way. Actually, very good because it's shielded. So we need to start putting our radios up in the microwave. Just make sure you have it unplugged. All right. Well, let's see here. We'll give a call out there for Clint in case he got in here late. Clint, are you out there? K6LCS, this is KF6Q. All right, no Quinn out there. Well, Mike, let's see here. Tonight's article, pretty cool. This is a real simple transmitter. It is tubes, and I think the first thing we should do, like Chris said, we need to be careful about this. If you're working with anything these days, a lot of the stuff is transistorized. Usually doesn't have any shock hazard, but with tubes and the voltages they use for the plate, potentially lethal. So, have to be very careful. Mike, anything you could add to that part?
I can reinforce what you said. Potentially lethal is really, I mean, if you've ever gotten bit by any of those higher voltages, especially DC, it's no fun, guys. Stay out of there. And it looks like from the power supply in the back, my gosh, 700 volt center tap. If my old knowledge serves me correct, that's 350 volts on each side of that center tap. And man, that's quite a bit of power. Don't want to get in there.
Yeah, and what they're using is, which is pretty neat. It's a full wave rectifier situation there. Not a bridge, but just full wave with a tube, keeping in the classic sense of tubes. And it's 350 volts. 110 volts is lethal. Actually, according to 35 can be lethal in the right conditions. So if you're going to work with any tubes, any tube gear, got to remember, with respect, watch where you put your fingers. Basically, keep your fingers out of there if they don't need to be in there, and they don't really need to be in there. All right, well, Mike, let's see. Also, I'm just reading here that this originally came out December 1946. This is on the sidebar where that power supply is. Now, as a complete crystal oscillator, most inexpensive transmitter for $3.95. Now, in 1946, dollar went a lot further. What would that be in today's money?
Well, I don't know if it's accurate, but they're saying $38.09. So let's say in the $40 range, something like that. By golly, that was before I was born. This is an old design. Tom, if my memory serves me correct, also, is that what they called an MOPA? I know I think it's a Pierce oscillator. And is that a MOPA, Master Oscillator Power Amplifier? Does that ring a bell? Back to you, Tom.
Well, gee, Mike, I think that was before my time. Hi. yeah, it could be. Anyway, but basically, even back then, $4, today $40, 10 times as much, if that's even accurate. I would think if it wasn't for our recession we're in, probably would have been, the ratio would have been a lot higher. But Yeah, this is really cool, and of course, likewise, I say once again, very cheap. And Mike, have you ever worked with tubes as far as gear or building any of that stuff way back in those days?
We did build a tube type, well, a couple of tube type heat kits back in the day. One was a CW transmitter. It was a heat kit AT1. Built that. I don't think I ever put it on the air. I was a novice and never really worked CW. I was a 2 meter AM guy, so I did put it on the air, but I had high hopes. And at the time, I had a little S38 holocraft receiver that I picked up in the surplus market. But yes, I did, but probably don't remember much of it at all. My memory doesn't serve me that well regarding that era. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, well, KF6Q here with Tech Tuesday and the group. Essentially, back in the 60s, I mean, that's the only transistorized stuff that we had or were messing around with were, like, just very low power things. Not that they didn't have high-powered stuff, but just about everything built was, that we were building was tubes. And you just had to be very careful with that high voltage. You treat it with respect. And try not to have your hands in there when the thing is turned on. You know, that's not what you do. Anyway, this is pretty neat. I've counted it. It appears that there's not much more than a dozen parts, and I think there's about three of these coils here that you wind yourself. And Mike, I like the template. Have you seen the picture of the template for winding the coils?
I mean, you just had a 2 second dropout, but yeah, what is it? Slats and a 2x4? That's pretty good. And the coil, that really grabs me too. The guy uses what, 8 penny nails to make what they call a basket weave coil. This is a very interesting transmitter. And crystal control, it probably does pretty well. Probably not too many key clicks or anything. Back in the day when they used crystal control, they usually were pretty stable. Sounded pretty good.
And by the way, I haven't mentioned this, but this article is by K0 Baker X-Ray Baker, Q0 Baker X-Ray Baker, K0 BXB, and pretty neat, Martin Hewitt. Pretty neat, so we'll give him a little credit here for the article. And like I said, there's always really great stuff like this in QST, so pretty nifty. Well, you know, and they also, I think they have the substitute of using some diodes here for that other tube that was also, you know, for the power supply. But yeah, this is pretty cool. Single tube transmitter, transmit only here, of course. You're supposed to have your receiver someplace else, I guess, or you're going to be transmitting and you're not going to know what anybody else is saying. But yeah, a lot of this stuff, let's see, I'm looking at here, some of the schematic was updated in 1949 from edition of the ARR Radio Amateur Handbook, and a couple of values, I guess, could be modified or changed, but other than that, pretty simple, Mike. What do you think? Maybe one afternoon you could throw this together?
I think that's about a good assumption. And if anybody decides to do that, too, I have a couple of crystals kicking around here. I think they're 40-meter crystals, too. So if anybody really gets into this and decides to do it, give me an email, and I will loan you or give you a crystal. I don't ever see using it again, but I don't think they're that hard to find. And the 6V6, I don't know if you saw that, Tom. They say that a lot of the receivers of that day used the 6V6 for the audio amplifier. And if you were satisfied using headphones, you could pull that out of there and use it in your transmitter. that's multi-purpose type stuff. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and I know that's not what we see here. Interesting thing, and of course we've always said that there's a lot of parts in old TVs, and before you tackle, many of our listeners out there reminded us that or you tackle opening up a old TV that is relinquished to junk or part salvage, You gotta make sure that there are no high voltages in there still kicking around, very lethal also. There's always a good way to take a ground wire from the chassis and attach it to a wooden stick and then use that, see if you can probe around some of the things in there. If you don't see any sparks, it might be good. Anyway, color crystal. The color crystal, frequency is slipping me. But anyway, it's in the 80 meter ham band for CW. And you'll usually find one in those old sets and even some of the new ones. Back to you, Mike.
It's true, that is a good place to find a crystal. It looks like it depends on which way you wind the tank coil, because one is 19 turns for 3.5, and then 12 turns for 40 meters. So I guess it's dual band. I don't see that the coil plugs in or anything, but I guess you could kind of fabricate something to where you could either switch it between 40 and 80 meters. Very cool, very interesting, and very cheap, too. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, you know what, and there's actually, like I say, with the parts in there, another really cool part, just about every TV set or stereo out there has an audio amp IC integrated circuit now, generally 5 watts or up, some of them 30 watts, really plug and play, looks like a big old wafer, and put a heat sink on that thing, power in and a couple other hookups. A lot of that information is readily available on the internet through data archives, basically just looking for data sheet archives of some sort. And a lot of those from the original manufacturer will have what they call little application notes, which actually show how to use it and hook it up. Usually it'll be something you could build. So there your audio amp is right in that TV too, if you wanted one. Already set for usually about an 8-ohm speaker. Yeah, a lot of parts there, a lot of parts. Well, Mike, pretty cool. Anything else to add about this radio before we drop out of the net here this evening? Please come back.
Really, Tom, I just from the picture here, it would be kind of cool looking sitting on the shelf. The varnish slats and the coil wound maybe a little bit better than what it looks like here. I guess the original one, too, you were supposed to use popsicle sticks, and it looks like here he used some sort of little dowel or something. And I can't see whether he's used a tube. Oh, yeah, there's a screw there. So an old tube socket, a capacitor, and using a tube socket for the crystal. So, oh, boy, he's even got a little socket for the key, too, so you don't have to wire that in. Yeah, I think that would look neat sitting on somebody's shelf, even if they didn't use it.
Yeah, and I think you can actually even get the old Nixie readout tubes like they used to have in the Cape Canaveral launch sites and some of those other underground missile silos, too. Pretty cool retro nostalgia back in the day stuff. So, well, anyway, anybody else with anything out there like to add to this evening, please come back to KF6Q Net Control for Test Tuesday.
K6BB.
Comments? W6COO.
Yeah, Chip, go ahead.
Point of the article, I was reading it while you guys were talking about it and everything. It reminded me of when I was a novice in the late 60s. And the basis of building something like this, I actually built something more of a piece kit type of situation. But nonetheless, it taught me the absolute bare bones, you know, what exactly does it take to make a transmitter. Just to understand what goes on when we get our rigs today with the CFOs and everything so set up automatically. But I've actually wound coils and did all the math to do a quick reset. Did the formula and the math to figure out all the component values. It was part of a project that we were working on, but it was also It was really a lot of fun, and it just kind of taught me the bare-bone basics of how a transmitter can work. So it reminded me a lot of the Heathkit rigs that you could get back in the late 60s. See them every now and then on eBay. Back to you.
Yeah, Chip, you know, there are still a lot of kits out there. Like I say, Ramsey's one of the kit makers out there, still has stuff out there. A lot of neat kits, too, in robotics, a lot of different fields of electronics out there. But in radio, yeah, pretty neat stuff. Interesting if you like building things, and you don't have to be real knowledgeable to build this stuff. Some of this stuff is basically a little soldering iron, little workbench area, and you throw things together. And I think the coolest thing, Chip, is you put that first project together, and whether it works the first time or works after fiddling with it for a while, when you get it to work, it's that great feeling of, hey, I built this, and gives you a lot of confidence to move ahead and go on to more things. So anybody else with any other comments or questions or whatever out there for Tech Tuesday this evening on building the simplest transmitter? All right, nothing heard out there. Well, glad to have everybody with us this evening, and pretty neat stuff out there. We'll stick around here for a little bit after the net. I do have a gentleman who wants to use a repeater, make a contact at 8. That's still a ways away, but anyway, glad everybody to listen up this evening to Tech Tuesday. Always try to get something neat out there, and we'll try to get a neat little trivia electronics in the news thing each week. Pretty cool stuff. A lot of stuff happening, probably a lot more than we could ever report. So, all right. Well, like I say, glad to have you with us out there. And QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. Closing the net this evening at 1900 hours and 37 minutes. And hopefully everybody out there, people out there on the East Coast, please do the best you can to get a hold of them, but got to let those cell phone lines die down a bit. So, all right. Everybody take care. Returning the repeater back to normal use. This is KF6Q.
KF6Q, KJ6QYN, Mobile.
Yes, Shelley, go ahead. This is KF6Q.
I got a couple cousins up in the northeast corner of New Jersey, and they found out through either their mom or their aunt that I was Mr. Disaster since I was cert qualified, so kind of helped them along before it really hit. So they said they lost about a quarter of the cell towers back there, so I'm gonna wait a couple of days, see how they fared. One cousin, she's got a 20,000 watt generator, so I think she'd be pretty good. She says I can't air condition it, but at 45 to 50 degrees I don't think she needs to.
Oh, roger that. Yeah, there's a lot of things we learn from these natural disasters, a lot of planning out there, a lot of stuff that we have to be aware of, too. 9/11 was a great teacher of a few things and how they happen and how they can just happen without, you know, without any rhyme or reason to it. So stuff like that, you just never know what's going to be around the corner, and just try to be ready. We could have a earthquake. We could have, if you're in the Midwest or wherever, actually now in the United States, you could have a tornado. This time of year, hurricanes, snowstorms, blizzards, you name it. So always good to have some basic essentials for survival. And then build on from there. So obviously, you can only get so much at one time. Just try to work towards a goal, and each make a point to get closer to that goal. Anyway, good point there, Shelley. Glad you could help. KO6Q here.
Thanks, Tom. KJ6, QIN Mobile, just monitoring. Have a good evening. 73.
You have a good evening too, Shelley. Take care. And we'll be monitoring for a while. 73, KF6Q.
KF6Q, KJ6KDK.
Good evening there, KDK. How are you guys faring up 38?
We're doing pretty well. We're just passing Lake Williams, and Jim reminded me, we were talking about cell phones and stuff, that a lot of times, just remind people, a text message will get through when a phone call will not.
Yeah, and I think that's because, I'm not positive, but I think it goes into like a messaging queue. And when it's available to get out, you know, it'll get transmitted out, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that's why. I could be 100% wrong, but I think that's one of the reasons, I believe.
Roger that. Jim's agreeing. And not only do they wait in a queue, but also they use a lot less bandwidth than a phone call will.
Hey, it's all ASCII code, just fancy Morse code. Very, very low bandwidth signal. So don't know if you copied that. Did have a dropout. Second one, this was on me, it's 7:27, same time frame. Pretty close to 40 minutes, almost divisible by 10. Anyway, so, well, good deal. Glad to have you back. How's your, how'd your cataract surgery go?
It went very well. This afternoon, late this morning, my vision in my right eye was like 20/25, and I'm cruising around without my regular glasses on because I got one good eye and one bad eye, and the good eye's winning.
Well, okay. As long as you don't have Marty Feldman eyes. Well, I like Marty Feldman. He was pretty cool. Young Frankenstein and all the other things he used to be in. Anyway, very cool. Is the other eye correctable also, and are you going to have anything done with that one, or is it what's on the agenda there?
Most likely eventually, but not the other eye that is not really even visible to me yet. The doctor could see it, but it's so small it's not causing any issues with my vision except my normal nearsightedness and astigmatism.
Okay, roger that. I had another dropout there. Made a note of that. Huh, okay. Well, whatever can be done. I've got, actually, just need glasses. First step up for reading. But I noticed that the more I use them, the more I want to use them. I'm not sure if that's good.
Oh, I don't know. It might be a good idea to go with what works for you, because it's probably giving your eyes a rest. And by the way, regarding the radio, Jim says he's taking notes of those times of those dropouts, and our recorder at home is still going. It's recording them as well.
Three times.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, right now I've only got two. I got 727, 742, according to my computer here, plus or minus a minute, of course. That for me was 15 minutes between, and the one from that to the one prior was almost 45 minutes, so I don't know, maybe there's a 15 minute interval here. Well, good deal. Maybe he can take a look at that and put some more correlation. Probably I should load up Audacity and be able to help him with that. That's probably one of the best tools, I think.
This is KJ6KDK here. Yeah, well, when we were driving, Jim thought he heard a dropout at 7:34 as well, but it's a questionable one. He's not absolutely sure.
Okay, roger that. And do you remember, was it probably me talking or Mike talking?
It was you, Tom. It was during one of your conversations.
Yes. Okay, maybe confirm that with the recording, because you never know, of course, with coming up the road there. But that would, I wrote that down, just in case. All right, well, good deal. Yeah, there's a lot of information we're going to put together here, and need to do some work out there. Actually, need to record the input for one of these sessions, just the input. And I don't know if he was, we had talked about it, and I don't think between him and myself, I don't know if we have the gear for that yet, but we'll work towards that.
Yeah, Jim's agreeing. We have to work on that. We don't necessarily have it yet, but yeah, sounds like a good idea. Well, we're almost to the QTA, so I guess I can sign off here, KD6KDK, and we'll be clear.
Okay, glad everything went well for you, and glad you guys made it back safe. So, all right, this is KF6Q 73, KJ6KDL, and KJ6KDK. This is KF6Q. We'll stand by for a bit.
Well, I've got a comment, WB6CLZ.
Yes, Michael, that's the comment.
First of all, hi to Jim and Rosemary, mobile safely. Hey, Tom, I do, I got a dropout too, and it was you, and it sounded like it was a dropout, although you were, it got you in mid-sentence, and I'm not sure. But it was 727, 734, and then again 742, so yeah, it looks like there is one in between every 7 or 8 minutes.
You know what? Okay, 727, 734, that's 7 minutes. 734, 742 is 8 minutes, but you know, hey, we're just shooting from the hip with a time stamp. Let's call it a, whatever it is, 7 or 8 minutes. He'll have probably all those on the recorder. Well, thanks, that verifies that. We'll just put that one in solid.
Tom, I've got the Mexican repeater. I didn't get hardly any of that, so we'll talk to you later, WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike, not a problem. Yeah, I got a comment out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm Chip here again, WB6CLZ. What I noticed, I think it's time for them, what I noticed on the dropout, they're not as long as they were a couple of weeks ago. They were noticeably shorter this time around by probably a good couple of seconds. So not sure if that plays into anything that you've been adjusting to the repeater, but it seemed to be noticeably shorter. And for whatever reason, it seems to be when you're transmitting. Over.
Yeah, and I think that's because I'm usually on Tech Tuesday. I'm doing most of the talking. That's just coincidental there. Because I did have one on Jim earlier at 6:44 and one Rosemary there at 7:42. So he's had it. I've actually been pulling them up from the recorded Tech Tuesdays in the past. They are 2.46 seconds exactly. Time after time after time after time. So sometimes I think it seems like they're shorter, and he can actually compare these tonight, which is what he's doing to make sure that they're all the same. But it's definitely an electronic timing feature from something, and it seems to have a period now of 7 or 8 minutes. So we are working on getting this narrowed down. But yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, and like I said, if you anything you can keep track of or just happen to think about if you as you hear it, just write it down and email that to me. Appreciate that, Chip.
Not a problem. I was going to write them down, but I heard you know, other folks had and noticed it. It's just 2.46. It's exactly that same time window. So something's building up to almost 2.5 seconds and then releasing. How interesting. Yeah, it'd make a great research deal for like an electronics 2 or 3 class if they still had those up that way. But anyway, I'll I'll let you go. I know they wanted to use the receiver here pretty soon. I just, they seem shorter, but then again, I'm not analyzing it quite to the nth degree that you guys are doing, which is great. We'll talk to you later. KF62, W6PO.
Well, not a problem, Chip. Appreciate that help. A little bit of let you know what direction we're steering here. A lot we've been doing on this, actually, under the radar. Our K6BB, Morse code ID, when it fires off, basically is 3 seconds, not 2.4. I think Jim actually had it down real close to that. So it's auto IDs are pretty much a standard plug-in feature with a lot of equipment. It's like a little plug-in, plug-and-play add-on board or plug-and-play circuitry that's put in the device, so in the controller. So kind of let you know which direction we're going there. It is not our repeater equipment. This has happened to two identical repeaters, both, you know, the same thing. It had nothing to do with our repeater whatsoever, so definitely an external signal, so just to let you know. Anyway, appreciate that, Chip. KF6Q.
Okay, most interesting, it's an external signal, so, alrighty, I'll kind of chew on that, as they say. It's interesting the way it comes and goes, and it seems to be exactly that time frame. Right, Tom, nice chatting, and we'll talk to you later, and you young later. KF2W6COO will be QRT.
Okay, Jim. Chip, I'll send you a real quick email, and you can check that when you get a chance. It's KF62.